Isn't it amazing to worship God? Amen. Wonderful to be able to come into God's presence. I remember when I just got saved, I was, God came to really radically turn my life around. Tilman will be able to tell you just where I come from. And you know, my life was quite in a mess, and then God came and He flipped my life completely around. And I remember I was third year studying engineering with Gils. We studied engineering together. But in any case, I got saved, and I remember I used to walk to classes. It was about a 15-minute walk, but you know, initially I used to hate that walk because you know when you get quiet. You know, and all the things in your mind and in your heart comes up, and now you have to really face those things. So I really used to hate that walk, not you know, the distance. It wasn't the distance, but it was actually the time that I had to think about, you know, life and about my situation and all of that. So God came to flip my life completely around. I remember the night before I gave my life to God, I remember myself and a friend went out. We were drinking. We actually went to small group. I didn't want to have anything to do with Christians. I didn't want to pray at all. I had this fear of praying. So I wouldn't go near to anything like this. But I remember my friend said, you know, I'll make you a deal. Because he got saved and he was invited to small group. So he says, I'll make you a deal. If you come with me to small group, we'll do this. We'll quickly go out, have a couple of drinks, go to small group, and then afterwards we can go out again. So I said, yes, that's fine. We'll do that. So I remember we, you know, going to the small group. It was weird. People were freaky. They just spoke about Jesus all the time. And even though I wanted to run away with everything that was inside of me, I knew there was something in these people that I just couldn't, you know, there's just something that I just wanted. There was something in their eyes when they spoke that just drew me to them. Remember, I made a commitment. And coming back to just that walk to class, I remember I was so overjoyed. That 15 minutes walking to class became the best time of my day where I could just speak to. I remember I would literally start laughing in the middle of people walking past would probably thought I was crazy. But I had just such joy because God had changed something to me. I could just speak to Him. I could just worship Him. You know, and I really learned to really worship God. And there's one thing, if you would wake me up in the middle of the night and you ask me what is the first thing or the thing that you most know, and my response would be, I know I'm absolutely dependent on God. I know I need God in everything and absolutely everything that I do. And just such a precious thing that I remember. And it's such a precious time that working, that's where worship started for me. Where I knew I'm dependent on God. Anything that I do, everything that I get, Jesus, God is my source. And that's why it's so amazing to come together tonight and worship God. When His presence comes that changes us. You know, we cannot enter into God's presence, go out the same person. It changes us completely. So I'm going to share with you tonight. Before I share, I'm going to quickly introduce the guys to you. Firstly, Wilton. Can you guys quickly stand? Wilton, please stand. I just asked these guys to come with me. Wilton is such an amazing God. I'm asking him to quickly share a testimony of what God has done in his life. He's from KwaZulu-Natal. God has done amazing work in his life where he was... I'm not going to share your testimony, Wilton. I'm going to give that over to you. But God has done such amazing things. He from a young age, his parents couldn't afford school. But today he's here, he's got a doctor's degree, he's a professor studying, God has done amazing stuff. He's going to share a bit about that. Matthew's from the Congo, he's with us in Rondebosch congregation, and God has really, we've been partnering with his father, who's a minister over several churches in the Congo, and he's been with us since last year, and he's in our worship team, as you could hear his voice a bit earlier. But it's amazing just how he's added to the church and in the band. It's added such a dimension to our worship, so it's wonderful. to have him. Then Jason. Jason, if you can stand. Jason has been with us in Rondebosch. If you don't know about Chapel Rondebosch, we've been around for 2 years. He's been there from pretty much the start. He's one of the first students from UCP. And Jason's really a pioneer and such a servant. He comes from Durban and he's been back to Durban in the meantime. But we're so glad that he's back with us now again. But he's really a man of faith and it's great to have him here. And then Liana, my wife, sends her regards. And she couldn't unfortunately be here tonight. She had to help on at Rondebosch's side. So Wilton, would you quickly share?
Thank you, Pastor. I greet you all in the name of Jesus. The pastor has just put me on the spot here. but basically, the best thing I can ever do is to be able to stand in front of people and just proclaim the Lordship of Jesus. Just to proclaim especially the faithfulness of Jesus. Sometimes how I used to compare Jesus with the politicians. What politicians do is that you need to vote them into power. If they need to fight with other people, you people must come in and fight for them and carry firearms and die for them. But Jesus does the opposite. He laid down his life so that I can live. And he doesn't care which background I come from. He's just as faithful. Some people came to a very rural area when I was still very, very young. I don't think I was at school yet. They came in to have a very big tent. The man's name was called Elo Steken. He's German. They came in, he speaks Zulu like a Zulu native. They came into our area and they were just having this crusade. They were preaching to everyone. But there's something that amazes me even today. The attention they were giving to the audience was just equal whether you are adult or you are a 4 year or 5 year old. I remember when they were preaching, everybody went forward to be prayed for, to repent, to accept Jesus. I also remember that I was touched, and I know that I was not even at school yet. I remember that I was touched because I remember going in front, and I remember them paying attention to me just like they were doing when they were paying attention to the adults. And I remember confessing those sins. I even remember that I stole a piece of bread. And then I remember saying to them that I asked God to forgive me because I stole something this morning. So that sister said, "What did you steal?" I said, "I stole a piece of bread because I did not ask for it and I just grabbed and I made sure nobody sees me." So we prayed honestly, asking God to forgive me for that. That was after I accepted Jesus. The strange part is that we people, sometimes, as I was still small, we forget, but Jesus does not forget. I grew up and I forgot as I was moving from area to area because I was poor, so I was living with other people to raise me up and others. So I forgot. I started all kind of things up until I was, I don't know what you call it, grade 11. When I was in grade 11, I had to leave the area I was growing up in and stay with strange people in a different place. Now, when I was staying in that place, there was just a very old, dusty Bible. So it was quiet. I was bored. I did not know what to do. So I took that Bible and I started to read that Bible. For some strange reason, I was guided to the life of Jesus. I remember crying and those tears wetting up that chapter that I was reading. I even remember praying. There's something strange about that. It means God knew that I was his child because he remembered that I had given my life many years before that. Because he was communicating with me. And what he also did was he started to create some platform where I would start to go to some school to have a Christian fellowship where we were confessing our sins and working for Jesus and living out everything else that is of darkness. Light and darkness. We knew very well that it should not match. Does not come together. From that moment onwards, I live now praying, becoming a dedicated, confessed Christian. Because I know that Jesus says, you confess with your mouth, you believe in your heart and you confess. So those were the bases. And then you walk according to how I teach you. Jesus came through for me in a number of ways. Sometimes I would marvel when people witness and say, God has done this for me. God has done this for me. I would believe that God do things. But for some reason, there was an inferiority complex because I didn't think that God do things for everybody, not a guy like me from nowhere who is a nobody. That's how I used to think. But God was actually not thinking that way, and he manifested himself. I remember, Pastor, I'm just going to mention something else, where I was staying in a very dangerous place. It was after matric, I found a job. I was staying in a very dangerous house where I could hear thugs after they come to rob other people. It was a room and then a room and a room. So I could hear them speaking, saying, oh, that guy, he dressed me up, you must visit him one day. So I woke up on the next day, and I was worried about this. As I was sitting down, the voice came to me. He said, yeah, you need to find a different place. And then it stopped. And then I said, yeah, I need to find a different place. But where would I go? The voice came back and said to me, yeah, that's quite tough, eh? Why don't you ask God? I quickly kneeled down and I prayed and I say, God, I just said something very simple. God, it is very dangerous here. I'm even afraid now. I really need to go now. And God said to me, go to Sister Ngoni's house. But the strange part is when that voice came, I knew that house, but I would never have gone to that house. It was just too beautiful that I could go there, a guy like me. I could just not try that. But as God spoke that, that's all he said. The strange part is the peace, the joy, and the gratefulness from the heart that came out. I just knew it. The strange part, when I went there to that house, what will I say? I went to that house. There was an old granny there. He had just spoken to a specific pastor to find a person to stay there who's a guy because she's old. She doesn't want to stay alone. But the pastor was stuck. He didn't know who is the reliable person to find. So the old lady said, okay, I don't know you. That is very strange. Did Pastor Abraham Mashiane send you? Because that's the only guy I asked. I said, no. I didn't even know that you ask people. He said, okay, then you better go back to him. I went to the pastor. I spoke to the pastor. He said, oh, I didn't even know who I'm going to find for that lady. But who told you? That was a very difficult part to say God told me. When I told the pastor, he kept quiet. He said other things. He said, yeah, but you're right guy I'm going to send you. But anyway, who told you? When I went to the old lady again, she wanted to know, but if the pastor did not tell you, obviously he's recommending you now, but who told you? I told her this. 2 weeks later, I said, oh, no. You remember I asked you who told you? Who really told you? I just have to say God. Do you understand? But you see, we don't understand how real, how alive, how faithful God is. Such that those people, they also knew God, but not the God that speaks. Not the God that you speak to, and he speaks to you. The old lady passed away many years ago, but she never believed, because there were times when she would come back and say, but really, really, you are such a nice guy, I'm glad you're here, but how did you get to know? They just never got to believe. Even that pastor never got to believe. It's a long story. I know that the pastor needs to come in and preach. But you do get the idea. You do get the idea how I got to know God. There are so much. There are so many things I may be able to share with you again some other time. A lot of wonderful things that God has been doing in my life. Even just tangible things where God is going to speak to me and even warn me of some danger during the political violence as well. It's amazing what God did for me there. They were shooting each other, and God spoke to me not to go, but he didn't tell me reasons why not to go. Cross that place to the bus stop. He just said, don't go. I started to wonder whether it was God, but I obeyed, and I stayed. Later on, I said, no, but there's nothing. I haven't heard anything anyway, so I'm going to go. God came straight away, and he said, okay, you want to go? Change the clothes you're wearing. Wear formal clothes, carry your briefcase. I did that and I went. As I was in the middle of nowhere, I started to see people lying under the trees with firearms. It means people knew there was something there. But because I was a Christian, I was not hanging around with people and thugs and people who are doing politics. So there was no way I was going to know. But guess who knew? Thank you so much.
All right, would you, if you've got your Bibles, please turn with me to Ephesians 5. Samuel, you can put up on the first slide. All right, so Ephesians 5, chapter 5, verse 15 to 18. I think we're going to read from there. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always to all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And verse 21, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Now, we've been having a campaign at Ranabosh called Mission Possible. The mission, talking obviously about the mission, the Great Commission that God has given us. And we've been spending a month on just talking about why the mission is possible. So I'm actually going to share with you guys just one of the messages that we've shared. I just want to warn you up front. We after the service at Ranabosh, we had some ministry time, some prayer time. And we were busy for about an hour and a half in the prayer time. So I hope you guys are, I'm just joking. No, we're just gonna pray afterwards. What we did at Ranabosh is we actually did has anyone heard of a fire tunnel? Who's heard of a fire tunnel? We made a tunnel, people standing on this side and on that side. And then people would one by one come through this tunnel. And then we'd pray for them and they'd experience the Holy Spirit and all of that. So we're going to do some of, sort of something like that. What I'm going to share with you tonight is I actually prayed it over us earlier, which just came out in the song Matthew sung. But just that whole thing where Jesus, when he descended, Ephesians chapter 4 actually says it. It says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive. And then it says something amazing. He gave gifts to men. It's very interesting. It's a very peculiar sort of scripture. I've actually been, you know, just intrigued on just what's being said here. So when Jesus, the very next verse says, Jesus descended into the lower parts of the earth. He did something there, and then he ascended. That was just now after he got crucified. When he got ascended, he gave gifts unto men, and that's where the writer of Ephesians tells us that he gave the gifts of the fivefold ministry: pastor, evangelist, teacher, prophet, and apostle. Those gifts Jesus gave. So we're going to actually end off, and we're going to trust that the gifting, and in fact the inheritance that God has for us, we're going to talk about the inheritance still, the inheritance that God has for us, that we begin to walk in that. And I'm going to come back to that just now. I just want to give a quick context. You can go to the next slide, Sam. And the next one. All right. So the vision is this. That's the right one. Thanks. The vision that God has given us. He's obviously given us the Great Commission. Jesus says, go into all the world. Now, this is the promise. We're going to look at various promises. Why this mission, and I could recognize that when I said the mission, the Great Commission, you know, with most people, when you say that, a little bit of fear comes up. You know, because we know that this Great Mission, this Great Commission, means that we need to evangelize people, means that we need to share our faith, means we need to witness. But the good news tonight is there's promises from God. This is the first promise. He says, Scripture in Psalm 72 verse 9, it says, "Blessed be his glorious name forever. May the whole earth be filled with his glory." Amen and amen. Habakkuk 2 verse 14, "For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters covers the sea." All right, so that is the promise. The promise says that God's glory will not be just in the church, but it will cover the whole earth. We're going to come back to that just a bit later, but I want to come back to Ephesians 5, where it says, "Be filled with the Spirit. Do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit." All right? And now it says that the whole earth will be filled. Now, what I'm going to share with you tonight, in essence, is I'm saying you need to be filled so that you can walk in your inheritance to see the world filled with God's glory. So that's basically, I've given you the sermon away. Now you know, this is what I'm going to share. You need to be filled so that the world can know God in his fullness. All right. You can go to the next slide. Now, inheritance. Psalm 2 verse 8 says, "Ask of me," you can go to the next one, "and I shall give you the nations for your inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for your possession." Isn't that amazing? This whole earth that God says the promise is it will be filled with God's glory, this whole earth God gives to us as our inheritance. He gives it to us. And the next verse, the next scripture I want to read is Proverbs 10, 11 verse 30. It says, "Godly men are growing a tree." No, that was the previous one. Go back. "Godly men are growing a tree that bears life-giving fruit, and all who win souls are wise." All right, if you know a bit about Proverbs, what is the opposite of being wise? Foolish. All right, so just see the opposite. Those who does not win souls are not wise. All right, are foolish. Okay? Those that win souls are wise. Now, what is inheritance? Inheritance is something that you get that you don't deserve. All right? It's not something that you've worked for. It's not something that you've labored and now suddenly you've reached the goal and, you know, the end of the month, you know, you get your salary because you've worked the whole month. No, it's something that comes freely. It's something that you just walk in. You just, you know, go to the testament, you do the legal stuff, and you get your inheritance. Okay? Now, all of us have received an inheritance in Christ. Did you know that? No? Yes? We knew that. Okay. I want to ask you a question. Who of you are walking in your inheritance at the moment? I want you to be very honest. Put up your hand. If you feel that you're walking in your inheritance. Okay, I'm seeing stuff like this. Okay. Who of you know something of your inheritance? Can you put up your hand? Okay. Now the rest of you, I assume that you either don't know what your inheritance is, or you sort of know, but you haven't completely walked into it. Okay? Now, tonight by the end, we're going to trust that the Holy Spirit imparts that to you. If you're sort of walking in your inheritance, we're going to trust that you completely, fully know. As the scripture says here, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So if the Bible says you must understand what the will of the Lord is, you know that you can know it. And you can completely and fully know it. All right? You don't need to doubt or wonder what God's... So we're going to pray. We're going to trust the Holy Spirit's going to impart that to us. I remember Pietri mentioning now that we work together. I remember I studied, as I said, I got saved in my third year. I did an internship with the church. After the internship, I was praying. I said, "Lord," you know, I was praying for work. I said, "Lord, I ask you for work." And I knew that you're supposed to pray specifically, so now, praying specifically to God. I said, "Lord, please give me a work, but I'm willing to go to any place. I'll even go to London. I'll even go to Joburg. But please don't send me to the southern suburbs, to Cape Town. Now, it wasn't long after that I got a work. I got a job in Stellenbosch because Stellenbosch was the first prize for me. So I got a work in Stellenbosch in Technopark. So I met Pietri. And I wasn't there for 2 months. The boss phoned me from Johannesburg. He said, no, they decided that the offices are going to move. We're moving to Cape Town. And we're moving to the southern suburbs. So by that time I was staying in Stellenbosch. And you know, now I need to drive through to Cape Town. Who have you ever drive from Stellenbosch, you know, as a permanent thing to work? From Stellenbosch to Cape Town. It's not. Thank you, Patrick. It's not. It takes long and the traffic is hectic. The N2 isn't, and especially at that time, they were doing a lot of works before the World Cup on the N2. So I would sit in traffic. But the amazing thing is, I would drive around, I would drive on the N2, on the M3, and I would pass UCT on the way to work. And as I was driving past UCT, the Lord just said to me, pray for this campus. And I would pray in the mornings. Would pray for the campus, and the evenings, all the way back to home, I would pray for the campus. I didn't know what I was going to do. I thought, I knew I had a calling of ministry on my life. I knew that was sort of the inheritance that God had for me, but I didn't know how it was going to work. In fact, I said to God, if I have to work for 10 years, I'll work as an engineer for 10 years. So I worked for 2 years. Every day, every morning, every evening, I prayed for that campus, not knowing that after 2 years, the church leadership came to me and said, you know, they're looking to start the ministry at UCT on campus. Would I consider leaving my job to start the ministry there? So God had prepared me. 2 years, I had already prayed for what God had promised. And it's amazing to see, because the moment I stepped in, I knew I had a heart for the campus. I knew because I was praying, I knew in the spirit what were the strongholds, what were the issues God had prepared me. And it's amazing to see today, I think it's about 4 or 5 years later, just to see just the fruit of the things that I was praying in that time. So I want to encourage you tonight, you know, even if you don't have the full picture, you know, sometimes God gives us a download into our spirits, but our minds are unfruitful and our minds don't understand, but our spirits know. You know, sometimes we think, you know, you have to have knowledge. You have to understand, you know, but if you look at scriptures, so many times it was experience that defined, you know, what people would believe, what would they think. It's not necessarily a knowledge download. But it's amazing to see just the fulfillment of just the things that is happening on campus. We're not a massive movement on campus, but the Lord is blessing us. I think we started out with about 30 to 40 people in the Ronnebosch Church, and we're about 130, 140 now. So God is really adding. In the last 2-3 weeks, God has been adding about 30 people has come to church, and it's really amazing to see God's fulfillment of that. But what I want to say to you is, even if you don't understand, go, be obedient. If God says to you, pray for that campus, pray for those people. Pray whatever the gifting, whatever the inheritance is that God has for you. Be obedient now, because you're walking in it now. If I thought 2 years down the line, you know, then only am I going to walk in this thing, then I would have missed that 2 years of preparation. You're walking in the inheritance that God has for you now already. Right, so that's the first thing I want to just trust that we just make that shift. It's now. It's not someday. It's now. We're walking in our inheritance now. Amazing thing is, the prodigal son, when he comes back, you guys know the story, one of the most familiar stories in scripture, where the father runs to the prodigal son. The son went, said to his father, give me my inheritance. What did he do? He squandered his father's inheritance. He went and he gave everything, you know, he sold everything, he lost everything, he you know, with the lifestyle that he was into, eventually we know the story, he went to the pigs, came back, eventually said, I'm going to go back to my father. The father welcomed him with arms wide open. And what did the father do? Basically, the father did three things. If you've done Bible school, you'll know what the three things are. By the way, if you haven't done Bible school, do it. It's a foundation in your life that you'll never be sorry about. The things that were established in Bible school in my life are things that you know, it's just so foundational. Everyone must do Bible school. So if you can't do it, then trust to do it correspondence or trust to do it in some way, but do it. And maybe that's a word for someone here. Because I heard Bible school is starting, or has started, but it's still open. So the prodigal son comes back. The father gives him three things. He gives him a ring on his finger. So what does that ring resemble? Symbolize. Sorry, say again. Authority, correct. Okay, authority. He gives him shoes on his feet. What does that resemble? Destiny. He gives him a robe on his shoulders. And he gives him identity. Identity resembles a robe. So what did the father do? It's basically, in that moment, he restored his inheritance. Even though he squandered his inheritance, the father restored it to him. So I want to say to you tonight that even if you've messed up, even if you've maybe seen a part of the inheritance, walked with God, but you've messed up, it's okay. If you come back to God, if you choose to come to the Father and say, Lord, I want to try again, the Father will restore. God is the God of a second chance. So I'm going to say, it's a word for someone here tonight. God is the God of a second chance. It's going to give you a second chance. And tonight, you're going to come back to that place. All right. The next point I want to make. You can go to the next slide. Is there's the urgency. Okay, now, the biggest part of our inheritance. We've got an earthly inheritance. The first part of our inheritance is obviously our salvation. We receive salvation. We receive life in abundance on this earth. That's the first part. The second part is we get an inheritance of a calling that God has for us that we walk in. The third part, and ultimately the final part, is when we go to heaven. God has prepared an inheritance for us in eternity. Right? He has got an inheritance for us there. But because of this promise of a culmination of all things, of an end time, of a judgment day, actually. Together with that, there's an urgency. All right? Remember, we start off with the vision. The whole earth must be filled with the glory of God. Now, there's an urgency around that. And the reason for that urgency is in Matthew 24, verse 14. It says, and this gospel of the kingdom, Jesus speaking, will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations. Then the end will come. All right? So the Bible says that when all the nations in the world have heard the gospel, and please note it says as a testimony. All right? So it's not just knowledge. It's not just a hearing. Because if you go to many Muslim nations that's closed for the gospel, they have knowledge about Christianity. They have got knowledge about the Christian faith. Mostly, it's a very religious knowledge. Mostly, they think of it as, you know, worshipping Mary and stuff like that. Funny enough, Muslims in those nations think that Christians are idolaters because they worship Mary. Isn't that interesting? Just revealing, you know, the perception of Christianity. But according to statistics, about 1 billion people in this world has not heard that. All right? Now we're close to the end times. I don't know if you agree with me. I believe that. So there's 1 billion people that need to hear this. So amazing. A couple of weeks ago, myself and Liana, my wife, we were just worshiping at home. we often just take some time out and just worship. We don't do it because we think it's a good idea. We just do it because we have to. Otherwise, we're not going to make it. So we worship, and we really receive what we need to receive in that time. Because, you know, otherwise, you know, just the things and, you know, just being busy, you know, we know if we don't get from God, remember I said, you know, I know one thing in this life, my dependency on God. So we were worshiping, spending time in God's presence, and came into God's presence. I had this agenda of things, and I felt the Lord said, just leave it. All the things that you're worrying about and want to pray about, just leave it. I said, okay, Lord, and I just worshiped God. And I had such an encounter, a truth encounter with the Holy Spirit in that session where I just felt such an urgency. But not just the urgency in knowing that there's some people going to eternal damnation, but an urgency because I felt as if I connected with the heart of God, God's heart. I want to say to you tonight that God's heart is urgent. You know, if you open up yourself in worship in that sense, where you allow God to stir you for the lost, you're going to realize that God has a serious heart for the lost and a serious urgency. So since that day, I've had such a, you know, I just look at the world differently. I look at, you know, when I walk into the shopping mall, when I see people, I look, you know, differently at people because I know there's an urgency. But it's not a thing of striving. You know, now I need to make this thing happen and I need to share my test. I need to do this. I need to do this. I know that when I approach someone, when I see someone, I know that God's heart is even more for that person than my heart is for it. So I know God's going to give me a word of knowledge, a prophetic something or a, you know, healing or some sort of divine appointment because I've connected to his heart that brings an urgency. And it's time for us just to connect to that heart. I can share just so many divine appointments that since that day that I've had with people, you know, just in Pick and Pay and, you know, places, you know, where I just, God set up something, you know, and it's such a divine connection where I got a word for someone or maybe share some of the stories as we go along. But there's an urgency. And the reason why there's an urgency, I want to say it plainly, you don't often say this in church, but there's a hell. If you've forgotten, we don't often talk about it in church these days, but it's actually reality. You know, in fact, people write books, you know, about, you know, the fact that there's no hell. If any one of you guys are followers of Rob Bell, you know, that's what he says. You know, so don't listen to Rob Bell. That is nonsense. If you read Hebrews chapter 6 verse 1, it says the most basic doctrine is the doctrine of eternal judgment. The fact that there is a judgment. There is hell. The good news to us tonight is that hell wasn't designed for us. The hell was designed for the enemy, Satan, and the demons. Alright? It wasn't designed for us. But the reality is hell is a reality. You know, and that's why there should be an urgency. But not because we know of hell, because we've connected to the heart of the Father. The God's heart, that's got an urgency for people and lost people. And that's why we need to walk in our inheritance. I remember a couple of years ago, my fourth year, I had a friend called Bernard, and I just got saved, and I was inviting him to small group. He never wanted to come to small group, but I knew God placed him on my heart, and I was praying for him. I was trusting for his salvation, and a couple of years later, it was about 4 or 5 years later, I hadn't seen him for a long time. A friend sent me a newspaper article saying that you know, the headline was Bernard Bruns jumps, commits suicide and jumps off a bridge He was a master student at Stellenbosch. He drove to Gouritz Bridge. He jumped off the bridge. He was suffering of depression, and he jumped off the bridge. Now, immediately you think, you know, put yourself in my shoes. You know, I knew the guy. I didn't have a great relationship, but I had a relationship with him. And immediately you think, what more could I have done? You know, what more could I have shared? You know, and I've really prayed through this, and I know that, you know, God's grace, and, you know, I have shared, I've reached out to him, you know, but there was just the urgency that sort of, you know, just came up in my spirit, because I knew God wanted me to take something out of this. That the person that I'm speaking to, the person that I've got a relationship, he might not be here, you know, in 5 years' time. You know, and just to think of that in terms of the people around you at your workplace, your colleagues, you know, it's amazing. But there's an urgency. But I want to just make it clear, it's not an urgency of strife. It's not a, you know, now I must go and make things happen. You know, now God is going to be angry at me. No, not any of that. We must connect to God's heart. That's why worship is so important. Where we connect into God, where we encounter God. You know what, if you look at Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, you know, when he had that vision, when God was there, and it, you know, he saw his robe, you know, and he's in the temple, you know, do you know that his life changed because of that experience? It was an encounter with the living God. It wasn't like he had knowledge of how great God is. It wasn't like he had information. Because I want to say to you tonight, it's not about information. It's about an encounter. That encounter that Isaiah had with God changed him more than all the knowledge that you could ever give him. Because it's about encounter. That's what I want to say to you tonight. It's about encounter, a truth encounter, encounter with the living God. The final thing, before we're going to pray tonight, you can go to the next slide, is the promise of power. The fact that Jesus said, he's not leaving us alone. He's not leaving us as orphans, but he's sending the Holy Spirit, the helper, the one that comes alongside us to help us. And please note, it says helper. It doesn't say he sent the Holy Spirit, the servant. It doesn't say he sent the Holy Spirit as, you know, whatever we have in our minds of the pictures of the Holy Spirit. But literally what the word helper means in the Greek is the word parakletos, which means the one that comes alongside us, our partner, the one that we connect into to see God's purposes being accomplished. That is what God has given us. I want to share just another testimony. About 2 weeks ago, Friday, last week, not last week, Friday, the week before, we had just a time where some of us at Rondebosch, we just went out, we came together, we're going to go out to the pubs and pray for people and just share the gospel, do some soul winning. And we got together, started worshiping first, and it was amazing. When we started worshiping, it was like the Holy Spirit's presence was there. And for a moment, we forgot about the fact that we're going out. We were just in God's presence, just worshiping him. And then the Holy Spirit came, and it was just a word. And we had to pray for each other. And as we prayed for each other, we just fell under the power of the Holy Spirit. All of us, we were like lying there on the floor, just experiencing just God's power. And it was such an amazing thing. Because we went out afterwards being convinced of God's power. It wasn't like, you know, we were now trying to psych ourselves up. But we just could go to someone and just say, but listen, this is what I feel God is saying to you. I've got a word for you. Share with people. Can I share God's love with you? Stuff like that. But we knew that God would be there. We knew that the power of God would follow us because we had encountered it. And I think for us sometimes these days, you know, why mostly we experience a bit of fear when we hear the word evangelism, it's because we don't understand the Holy Spirit. We don't understand who the Holy Spirit is. We don't understand how committed He is. Because remember, the Holy Spirit was given for one reason. Who can tell me what that reason is? To be witnesses. To empower us to be witnesses. Alright? So that's primarily why we get the Holy Spirit. It's not to make us, our experience with God more, you know, exciting. Or, you know, to enhance, to make it three-dimensional. Before you were spirit-filled, it was two-dimensional. Now it's three-dimensional. The primary reason for the Holy Spirit is for us to be effective witnesses. So we must come back to a place where we know the person of the Holy Spirit again. That we don't have this idea and perception of the Holy Spirit is this there to help me, you know, to make my prayer life more exciting. And of course it is. Of course the Holy Spirit, when He comes, He makes things exciting. He speaks to us. You know, it's like Wilton shared in his testimony, how God speaks to him. It's the Holy Spirit that speaks, that's with us. He's the one he's our friend. He's, as I said, the Paracletos, the one that comes alongside us, that helps us in our need when we pray. He prays on our behalf. And I want to challenge you tonight. I challenge myself as well. Because I think often, you know, in our society and in our culture, how we grow up, we are taught to take the path of least resistance. You know, the easiest paths in life. You know, but I believe that God is calling us to not only take the easiest paths, but sometimes to confront life. You know, if you didn't know it, we are in a war, in a spiritual war. The Bible says that our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. But there's a battle going on. And a battle means that you need to resist. Do you guys agree with me? There's stuff that you need to resist. All right? Now, the great news, exciting news, is that the Holy Spirit is in that. Now, I want to say this is maybe a hard word for some of us tonight, but I want to say to you, the moment that you embrace this truth, that we are here to resist, and we are here to witness, then you begin to know the Holy Spirit. Then the Holy Spirit comes. You know, because sometimes it's only when you align yourself, only when you go on missions, you know, only when you set yourself out in a place, you know, maybe for some of you it's, you know, to do the community work that you do in Tableview. When you put yourself in a place where you can't do it on your own, you know, then you begin to learn who the Holy Spirit is. I remember, you know, when I was, came to God, I was very fearful. I had a fear of people. There was no way I could speak to you like this, you know, in front of a crowd. I couldn't speak to two or three people at the same time. You know, at orals, at school, you know, I knew, you know, I would make up lies not to do my orals because I had such a fear of speaking in front of people. But I went on a mission. I felt God called me to a mission. On this mission, it was one of the outreaches, and I knew I was going to share my testimony on this mission, and that was the biggest fearful thing to me, to share my testimony. So now this one outreach, the leader of the mission comes to me. I haven't shared my testimony, but he comes to me, he says, Rainer, I want you to do the altar call tonight. I want you to share the message. Now you can imagine, you know, I'm standing there, I don't even want to share my testimony, now I have to do a message, short sermon. So I'm standing there and I am fearful. You know, I'm going to do something that I'm, you know, I would never have done, you know. But I just knew there. And I had one scripture that evening. I shared the scripture. I knew the words that I shared wasn't eloquent, but I knew the Holy Spirit was there. Many people respond, came to salvation, healing. I'm just making it short. But what I can say to you is the places where I knew the Holy Spirit was the places where I put myself and I made myself vulnerable. Because sometimes we sit in our quiet times, we say, Holy Spirit, I want to know you more. And of course, God is going to reveal himself to you. But some things you can only know if you make yourself vulnerable. You put yourself in a place where the Holy Spirit has to come through for you. Because that's faith. If it's not something that you can do in your own strength, but God comes to do it. And I want to encourage you to go to your workplaces, to go to your family, and to trust God for things, for the supernatural, for miracles to happen. To set yourself in a place that if God hasn't come through for you, it's maybe embarrassing. But we must do it so that we can know the Holy Spirit. Can I ask you to please all stand with me? The band can come up. I want to, before we're going to just spend some time in prayer, I just felt, it's right now when we're talking, that the Holy Spirit is the Comforter. That's the other name that Jesus gives the Holy Spirit. He says that He will be the Comforter when He comes. And right now, and I want to ask everyone to close your eyes. I sense there's someone here that just needs the comfort of the Holy Spirit right now. Just want to be obedient to the Holy Spirit. But there's someone here that things are a bit hectic around you. Today's a bit challenging, and you're almost sitting here, but you can't. You almost feel like you can't receive this word because things are just a bit hectic in your life, and you can't get yourself over the place where you receive God's word tonight. I'm going to ask you, if you're that person, why don't you just raise your hand? I want to quickly pray for you. I just believe there's another person. Just keep those hands raised. Father, I pray for your people right now, Lord. Holy Spirit, I invite you as the Comforter. Holy Spirit, I thank you now for truth encounter. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you just come upon these people and you comfort them in that situation now. In Jesus' name. Father, we just release now wave after wave of your peace, Lord. Just release it over your people tonight. Comfort, Holy Spirit. Comfort. Thank you, Jesus. I just thank you for a healing. There's one of those people I sense that the Lord says He's going to heal you tonight. He's going to heal your emotions. He told me earlier that He's going to heal someone. So I want you to, if that's you, you just need emotional healing. I want you to raise your hand. I'm going to pray for you now. Father, I thank you, Jesus, that you're the healer. Not just the healer of our physical bodies, but you're the healer of our emotions. Every hand that is raised right now, Holy Spirit, thank you for your healing presence. You come to restore, Lord. Thank you for your word, Lord. We appropriate your word that you gave us in the worship, Lord, that you said that you turn, Lord, a mourning into dancing. You give us beauty instead of ashes, Father. So for every person that is raising their hands right now, Holy Spirit, heal them. Heal them now. Thank you for your healing touch. Healing touch. I want to ask you if the Holy Spirit is dealing with you and He's healing you right now, so right where you are, just sit down. Just sit where you are. The Holy Spirit's going to continue work. He's going to heal your emotions. Forget about the person next to you and just yield to Him. Yield to the Holy Spirit. Say, Holy Spirit, come and do this work. Do this work of healing. Just be bold. Just do that. While the band is just ministering and people are just receiving healing, I want to ask tonight if, before we're going to pray, before we're going to talk about the gifts that Jesus has for us, the ministry that He has for us, the inheritance that He has for us, We're going to first return to the cross, the place that the gifts came from. I want to pray for, feel that there's someone specifically here tonight. You've been running away from God. In your heart, you're far away from God. It's almost like you want to respond, but your heart is hot. You've been running away from God. I believe that God is calling you back tonight. So anyone here that wants to say, Lord, I want to come back to you tonight. Maybe you've never publicly given your life to God, or maybe you're not walking in life in abundance tonight, but you want to say, yes, I want to hear your voice, Lord. Is there anyone like that? Would you just raise your hand? Thank you, Lord. Is there anyone else? Father, I want to pray for those people with hands raised. Raise their hands right now. Thank you, Jesus, that you have come to give life in abundance. Where the thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy, I pray for a revelation of that, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would give to those people just the definition of what you do, Lord, and what the enemy does. Where the enemy steals, kills, and destroys, we expose now, in Jesus' name, his work. We expose now everything that is not from you, every lie.
Yes.
We bind now every lie that says that you are not a son or a daughter of God. We bind that lie now in Jesus' name. Every lie that says that you are not part of God's fold, he's part of his sheep, we bind that lie now. And thank you, Jesus, for the truth. The truth of your Holy Spirit. The truth that Jesus has come to bring life. Life in abundance. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you're ministering to your people, Lord. I want to ask right now, if you want to walk in your inheritance, what we're going to do is going to go ask some of the elders in church just to come to the front. We're going to just make a path. And if you want to walk through that path, I'm going to pray prophetically over you. I just feel that the Holy Spirit is here. It's a spirit of prophecy. I'm going to prophetically speak over you. If you don't know what your inheritance, or if you do know, walk more in that. Tonight we're going to have clarity on that. Because the Holy Spirit, Jesus says that he gave gifts to men. It's the inheritance that he has for the saints. I'm going to make two lines here. Off on this side and off on that side. We're going to pray for you. If you've maybe got some oil here, you have some oil. They're going to get some oil. So I want to ask you to quickly queue if you want to receive prayer in this. Queue this way. We're going to pray for you, and then if you guys can just come a bit closer, then just go around that side. If it makes sense. All right? Just going to quickly pray for us. Father, we invite your Holy Spirit to come and give gifts to us tonight. We invite your Holy Spirit, even in this physical space. We thank you for your anointing, your yoke-breaking anointing, Lord. But more than that, Lord, we thank you for the inheritance, the manifold greatness of your salvation and the inheritance of the saints. We pray in Jesus' name that tonight, Lord, you would come and release people into their calling. That, Lord, once again you would put on the shoes It was placed on the prodigal son, Father, that shoes of destiny. In Jesus' name. Father, and I pray for every one of us here in front. Thank you that you release your prophetic word. In Jesus' name. All right, so if you want to come, you want to receive prayer, you want to walk in there, just quickly come. I'm going to pray for you. Just go slowly, don't go too fast, so that you can receive what God has for you.